Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, Indiana fans, and welcome in to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. No, I am not Matt. My name is Joe Glover. I'm guest hosting today for Matt, and we're going to talk a little bit more about why that is and why he's out today and why I'm filling in the big seat here in just a few minutes. But I'm very happy that you are joining me today on the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. We have a great show lined up for you today. We've got a lot to get to, so let's go ahead and get into it. Before we get going, I do want to encourage you to interact with the show. You can follow me on Twitter. That's at Joe Glover, at J-O-E-G-L-O-V-E-R. Send any questions or comments that you might have about the show. We'll try to get those on the air today. Again, that's on Twitter. You can find me at Joe Glover. You can also follow Matt Dennison in the show on Twitter. It's at Hoosier Hills, all one word. Again, at Hoosier Hills on Twitter. The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison is also on Facebook. You can get show updates, links to the podcast, and much more. Make sure that you search for The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on Facebook and like the page today. As I mentioned, Matt is not in studio here today. He's actually attending the funeral of Charlie Jenkins, legendary and Hall of Fame broadcaster that we've all listened to over the years, a true legend who worked right here at WXVW. We were talking earlier today that there really wouldn't be a WXVW without Charlie Jenkins. That's how much he meant to this station and to our local community. I wanted to cover the show today for Matt so that he and others at the station could attend Charlie's funeral, and that's actually going on right now in New Albany. So a lot of people there, I know, celebrating the wonderful life that Charlie had, and just an icon here in Southern Indiana. He meant so much to so many people. I was actually telling a few people at the IU Southeast basketball game last night that I'm really not sure that I've ever heard a negative story about Charlie. And there's just not many people you can say that about in your life. He was a true mentor to so many of us that have aspirations to work in radio, and just always a true gentleman. I first met Charlie when I was a student broadcaster at WNAS in New Albany, and you know, he was always a very, very kind and very willing to talk about this crazy business that we all love. I know that we all learned a lot from him. We all kind of picked something and learned something from Charlie. He was always just so professional and polished. That's something that you're going to hear a constant theme when talking about the life that Charlie led. I really admired that about him. Always a pro in every sense of the word. He could really do it all. I encourage you to listen to the show tonight, tonight's big broadcast here on WXVW. Zach McCright's going to have the call tonight, and he and others in our community are going to share their memories of Charlie Jenkins, and it's going to be a touching and a very fitting tribute to a man that meant so much to Southern Indiana sports and who really loved Southern Indiana and high school sports in our area. So I encourage you, even if you're at the game tonight, if you can listen, or I'm sure we're going to have it on available afterwards as well, where you can go back and listen to that to be able to catch in and learn just a little bit more about Charlie and what he meant to so many people in our community. Rest easy, Charlie. Thank you for all the wonderful memories. And as Lee Kelly said recently, and I'm pretty sure that, this was a quote that he actually used, and I think it's so fitting. I'm going to read it to you. As Lee said, quote, "I'm pretty sure somewhere there's a sporting event going on, and Charlie, Ted Throckmorton, and Gene Coomer are providing all the details to the listeners," end quote. And I think that's well said. We're certainly going to miss you, Charlie. Godspeed, my friend. Now let's take a look at the show's lineup today. As always, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. In segment one, we're going to start with the Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. In segment two, I'm going to have Brian Sullivan, general manager at WNAS Radio at New Albany High School, and what I would consider a local basketball historian, going to have him join us. We're going to talk all things New Albany versus Jeffersonville basketball. Again, don't forget, big game tonight. You should get a ticket and watch it live there in the doghouse at New Albany High School. But if you can't make it, please join Zach McCride on the radio call right here on WXVW. That broadcast is going to start at 7.05 p.m. And then in segment three, really looking forward to this guest. We're going to welcome Kevin Brockway, Indiana University and Big Ten beat writer for the CNHI Sports Indiana Network. Kevin covered the SEC for many years in Florida from 2003 to 2018, and we're going to talk a little bit about IU hoops, including a brief recap of the comeback win versus Northwestern on Wednesday, and we're going to preview the big game against Ohio State tomorrow, and we may even hit on a rumor that's going around about the General Robert Montgomery Knight, so stay tuned to hear more from that in the last segment of the show today. That's our guest lineup for today, and it's a good one. And again, thank you for tuning in. Our show lineup is brought to you by Honey Baked Ham. Stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany and mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch made to order. That's Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's go ahead and jump into our Zaxby's headlines. Again, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. There are several news stories and headlines about Indiana University athletics and Southern Indiana to get to today. We're going to start, obviously, with high school basketball being back in action around our area tonight. Of course, Jeffersonville and New Albany is kind of the headline game or in the state today. I don't think we need to talk too much more about that. We're going to obviously talk a full segment on that with Brian Sullivan here in the next segment. But there's some other good games going on in our community tonight and in the region. I want to mention those. Austin's going to be heading to North Harrison tonight. Bloomington South taking on Bloomington North, a big rivalry right there in Bloomington. Borden is going to be heading to New Washington. Cordon Central at Floyd Central. Madison's going to be over at Scottsburg. Silver Creek taking on Eastern Pekin. Providence is going to be at Clarksville tonight, and Seymour at Charlestown. Just some of the other games, great games going on in our area here tonight. A lot of rivalry games in itself with that listening. So make sure you head out and support high school sports in our community. Matt and Lee talked a little bit about this on the show yesterday, but one of the biggest things I really want to hit on today is this Indiana basketball program and the fact that they escaped with a win on Wednesday night against Northwestern. And there's no doubt that Coach Archie Miller was not happy with his team's performance and more importantly, probably a few of the players following the game. Effort and hard work just seemed to be lacking a bit. And I saw a photo circulating around Twitter last night that showed the team clapping, cheering on teammates. And right in the middle were two IU players who seemed to be a little disinterested in what was going on and sitting on the bench. And I think that caught the eye of many Hoosier fans. And I know it caught the eye of Coach Miller, who in a roundabout way mentioned it during his post-game press conference. And that just can't happen. Coach Miller is going to have to send a strong message in that locker room that lack of effort and lack of heart is not going to be tolerated. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that with Kevin Brockway in our last segment today. But I think we're going to see some lineup changes. I think Coach Miller alluded to this in his post-game press conference. It may not be the 11 that have been playing consistently throughout the game. I think we're going to see a few players that are going to see a little bit of a diminishment in their playing time. So we'll stay tuned and see how that shakes out. IU obviously will be back in action tomorrow, Saturday, hosting Ohio State at noon. You can watch that game on Fox. Gus Johnson and Jim Jackson have the call, so you can listen there or watch on TV. You can also listen live here on WXVW. Don Fisher will have the call right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Again, noon tip-off. The Ohio State Buckeyes, and the Indiana Hoosiers. Our next headline, let's switch over to talk IU football. Yes, IU football in January. That might be a big sign of where this team and this program is going after an exciting year. Yes, the bowl game did not turn out as we all wanted, but still an overall great year for this Indiana University football program. And they announced that Indiana will promote tight ends coach Nick Sheridan to offensive coordinator. This was confirmed on Wednesday night from a source with Indiana University. Sheridan, a former Michigan quarterback who coached the Hoosiers signal callers in 2017 and 2018, Sheridan came to IU after three seasons as a graduate assistant at Tennessee from 2014 to 2016. By tabbing Sheridan, Allen is going to be putting his trust once again in a young coach. Last season, 32-year-old assistant Kane Womack was given the reins of the defense after Allen relinquished those duties, and Womack became the youngest defensive coordinator in the Big Ten. And Sheridan will turn 32 in May. So another young individual getting a lot of responsibility, taking over as offensive coordinator for the Indiana Hoosiers next year. Again, that's Nick Sheridan for IU football. So we'll see what transpires with that. But again, IU moving in the right direction with football. And I think there's been a lot of fans that are already excited about next year and have put that bowl loss behind them and are looking forward to what this team can do in the future. Our next headline, let's take a look at IU Southeast and kind of where they are right now, the IU Southeast Hoops update. Our local Grenadiers hosted West Virginia Tech last night. They did fall 89-82. The IU Southeast men's team is now 11-5 overall and 4-1 in the River States Conference play. Jacoby Hendricks from J-Town, a Wagner High School product, actually recorded a double-double in the loss, scoring 28 points and 11 rebounds, but didn't have enough help from his fellow Grenadiers, and they end up falling 89-82. The IU Southeast men will return to action tomorrow. They will host the University of Rio Grande at 3 p.m. in the Activities Building on the IU Southeast campus. The Grenadier women also fell last night to WVU Tech. They fell 82-75. The Grenadier women are now 11-6 overall and 3-2 in the River States Conference. They will host the University of Rio Grande again tomorrow. Their game time is set for 1 p.m. again on in the Activities Building on the IU Southeast campus. And hard to believe, but we're already starting to turn our attention to spring sports. And the IU Southeast softball team was picked to finish third in the preseason River States Conference coaches poll that was released yesterday. IU Southeast earned 53 total votes and a first-place vote in the poll. The Grenadiers are the defending River States Conference Tournament champions and finished the 2019 campaign with a 33-25 overall record and a 13-5 record in conference play. The Grenadier softball team won the 2019 RSC Softball Championship with a run in for the title, featuring two wins over Rio Grande on the last day of the tournament. They advanced to the final day of play in the opening round of the 2019 NAIA Softball Championship and are looking, hopefully, to have similar success here this coming year. To keep up with all IU Southeast sports, make sure you visit iusathletics.com or follow the program on Twitter at iusathletics. That's one word, at iusathletics. Sports Information Director Stephen Utes does a great job keeping everyone up to date, and I know that you will enjoy keeping up with your local IU team as well as the Hoosiers. Again, that's iusathletics.com. And our final headline of the day comes from the world of women's basketball. IU women's basketball is up two spots in the USA Today WBCA coaches poll this week to number 13th in the country. It's their highest ranking in the coaches poll in school history. And the best news of the week, the IU women beat Purdue last night, 66-48. Allie Patberg, a redshirt junior from Columbus, Indiana, led the team with 18 points and 3 rebounds. And the IU women's team, under the direction of Coach Terry Morin, are 14-2 and 4-0 in the Big Ten Conference and at the very top of the Big Ten standings right now. And with the win over Purdue, the rivalry between IU and Purdue continues with the 2019-20 Governor's Cup. Obviously, that's a competition between IU and Purdue in all sports, and each sport can earn a point towards the overall championship by winning their contest. A total of 19 or 20 points will win the Governor's Cup. And with the win last night, the IU women's basketball program extends the Indiana University lead over Purdue 3.5 to 2.0 in the latest Governor's Cup standings. And so we always keep a close eye on that. Us Indiana fans always like when you see a big win over Purdue. So obviously, great job for the women's basketball program. Those were the Zaxby's headlines today. Try a Southern TLC filet sandwich, a buttermilk marinated breast filet served with lettuce, tomato, and mayonnaise. Again, Zaxby's locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. We're going to take a short break and return with Brian Sullivan, general manager of WNAS 88.1 FM at New Albany High School and a local basketball historian to talk about Jeffersonville versus New Albany. Thanks again for tuning in. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on the Big X, 1450 and 96.1.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. I'm Joe Glover, your guest host today, filling in for Matt. And unless you're living under a rock, you know that tonight's big game is Jeffersonville at New Albany. And Skyline Chili of New Albany is proud to present the Crosstown Showdown game between Jeffersonville High School and New Albany High School. Fans this week supported their teams on separate support nights at Skyline Chili. Jeffersonville had their night on Tuesday. New Albany had their support night on Thursday. And all of this occurred at Skyline Chili at 3505 Grantline Road in New Albany. And a percentage of the sales from those two nights went directly back to each of those schools and their athletic programs. We'd like to thank Skyline for all their support of these two programs and this important Crosstown Showdown. At this time, let's transition to the big game here locally tonight, and we're lucky to welcome in Brian Sullivan, general manager of WNAS 88.1 FM at New Albany High School, and what I would consider, I don't know if he considered himself this, but somewhat of a local basketball historian, and we're glad to welcome him in. Thanks again, Brian, for joining us today.
I'm just pleased to be with the Renaissance man, Joe Glover, athletic director, now master photographer, and taking over the radio airwaves as well. I don't know how you have the time for all this.
Well, and you forgot the biggest one, dad of two children under 5 years old. That I think that takes up more time than anything. So, no, but I really appreciate you joining me. And, you know, obviously today, right now, you know, I'm filling in today because we're, you know, Charlie Jenkins' funeral is actually going on right now in New Albany, and I wanted Matt to be able to attend and others here at the station. Charlie meant so much to so many of us, and a lot of our memories, even going back to meeting him at WNAS when I was a student there and coming up in the broadcasting world and trying to figure out what a true play-by-play broadcaster was. And I know that you had some significant ties with Charlie as well, and I'd just like to give you a chance to maybe comment about Charlie and what he meant to you and what he meant to all of us as we prepare for this game tonight.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, you could say Charlie's the reason that I am and my family is down here. Back in 1977, when he was the general manager of WXPW, he hired my father away from a radio station up in Kokomo and brought him down to be a full-time employee with Charlie there at the station. And so we came down just in time for the big blizzard of 77-78. So my first memories of New Albany are about 14-foot snowdrifts there. But my dad worked with Charlie over there for 3 or 4 years. And that's how we wound up down here. And then I think, like a lot of basketball fans of that era, you if you weren't at the game, you were listening on the radio. And so certainly, you know, we're blessed in this area, for me growing up, to have Kaywood Ledford and Van Vance and Don Fisher doing the college broadcast. But to have a Lee Kelly and a Charlie Jenkins in town that you're listening to every Friday and Saturday night, I've described it as being kind of like taking a master's class in sports broadcasting just from sitting there and listening for 4 hours each weekend.
I think you're right. I think that's right on. So now I know who to blame for getting you down here in New Albany. So that's good to know this story now. But if my math is right, coach, you're always going to be Coach Sullivan. But if my math is right here, I believe it's the 162nd time that these two teams are going to play each other tonight. And I'm talking about Jeffersonville versus New Albany. And I'd like for you to just try to explain to fans who are listening who may not have ever been to a New Albany versus Jeffersonville game. First, shame on you. You should definitely be going to those to one of these games. But how would you explain this rivalry to those who aren't familiar?
I think it's a different rivalry in terms of when you think about some of the big rivalries around the state, it's inner city type stuff. It might have been Anderson versus Anderson Highland, Muncie Central versus Muncie South. You know, right now, Bloomington South, Bloomington North. So you get those good city rivalries, but you can't think of too many examples around Indiana where you've got two schools this size that are different cities and, in fact, different counties, and yet they're right on top of each other. And so, you know, there's not – you'll see some, you know, at New Albany and Floyd Central because they're in the same school system. There's certain stuff, including WNAS, that you wind up sharing. You know, they do joint drama productions together. New Albany and Jeff, despite the proximity, I mean, it's clearly two entirely separate worlds, and especially for folks that were around before the advent of Floyd Central High School. I mean, it is clearly a bitter, heated, encoded in your DNA kind of rivalry there. And, you know, no matter what kind of season the two teams are having, whether one's up, one's down, this is going to be the game that everybody turns out, and there's a real intensity in the air.
It's funny, we often talk about how wide the Ohio River is, and I think those of us familiar with the New Albany-Jeff rivalry talk about just how wide Silver Creek can be at certain times with this rivalry game. And so it's, yeah, I think you described it very well. And I think a lot of people, when they think about this, I mean, you think about big rivalry games in the area. You talk about Kentucky versus Louisville, and you think about these larger games in the area. Maybe talk a little bit about but where this stacks up with some of the rivalries here in the area.
I think one of the big things that maybe people now, I mean, you'd have to be in your 70s or 80s probably to remember, at one point this rivalry got so heated that we went 11, 12 years where they canceled the series because there were so many incidents of vandalism and fights breaking out after the game and people sneaking over in the middle of the night to steal stuff from the other school. And finally they just said, enough. I mean, a rivalry is a good thing, can be a healthy thing, can be a fun thing, but some New Albany and Jeff fans were just taking it way over the top. And you know, when it gets to the point that you have to cancel, you know, the biggest money maker, biggest crowd you're going to have, the one that people want to talk about the most, for that to be taken away for over a decade, and the only chance for the teams to wind up playing was in state tournament action, I mean, that really had to drive people crazy, and also what the hype must have been when it finally was reinstituted. I wasn't around for that. I think about when Kentucky and Louisville had the first Dream Game back in 1983, and they'd been waiting 25 years, and how insane that was. And that's probably how it was for New Albany and Jeff fans there back in the early 1960s when this rivalry finally got back on track.
It's funny. I've heard of a lot of stories, and how many of them are true, I will never know. I don't know how much truth comes out in these stories, but I often hear from the guard that you know, some interesting stories. Like I said, I can't repeat them because I don't really know. I wonder how much of the truth is there, but I know it was a bitter rivalry for many, many years. So I'm curious into your first personal memory of Jeff versus New Albany. When was the first game that you really remember, that you think back to, that kind of sticks into your mind when you got here to Southern Indiana?
I had seen some sectionals when I was in elementary school where both teams were in the same sectional but didn't wind up playing against each other. So the first time I ever saw New Albany and Jeff on the court against one another was back in the 1989 season. So that would have been my freshman year. And as an aspiring, hopefully, played basketball at New Albany, I mean, I wanted to immerse myself into that. So we went over to Johnson Arena and watched. And for about a quarter, it was going really well for New Albany. We were up by 10 points going the second quarter. And Jeffersonville came out. This was Mark Bixler's last full season as the Red Devils head coach before he passed away in 1990. They scored 39 points on New Albany in the second quarter, and I've never seen an offensive performance like that at the high school level. The three-point shot, I think, had gone into effect the year before, but Jeffersonville was not really, in the Bixler years, a big three-point shooting team, but they were very much they were going to pressure you. They were going to get up and down the floor. They were going to send all five players to the offensive boards. And so if you weren't blocking out, and they were very athletic teams, they were just going to run you off the boards, get a lot of putbacks. They were going to press and try to turn you over and get at steals and layups. And so everything clicked about as well as I've ever seen for a high school team in that regard. We went from 10 up to maybe 15 down in one quarter and ended up losing 88-72 that game. So that was my first introduction. and the intensity of the Jeffersonville crowd. I mean, back in those days, they can't do it now, but they would be armed with bags full of dog biscuits. And the first time that Jeffersonville would score, they would fire dog biscuits onto the court, and they'd have to stop the game and clean them off. And remarkably, Jeffersonville never got a technical foul in all those years that they did that. And in some of those games, you might have appreciated having two free throws in the ball with as tight as some of them wound up being.
Oh, that's great. That's really great insight. You see, these are the things that we miss out on that we don't think about today. And by the way, we're not advocating this. So any students that are listening today to this radio show that are going to be at the game tonight, make sure that you behave. I don't want you coming back and saying, well, Brian Sullivan and Joe Glover on WXVW told us to do this. No, we're not going there. We're just talking about the history. But, you mentioned home court a little bit and about the advantage and how that plays in. You talk about Johnson Arena at Jeffersonville and obviously the Doghouse at New Albany. How much does home court advantage really play into the series? I know that the series is pretty close. Maybe you can go into a little bit about the history there and how close it is and maybe how important that home court advantage is for each of these teams.
It's really tough because you're always going to have a packed crowd for these games, and they'll do a decent job. I would say Jeff and New Albany probably do a little bit better job of turning over some tickets to whoever the visiting team is compared to what you'll see at some other games. So it's going to be packed. And if you're the visiting team and you're doing well, you've got enough of a contingency there behind you that you're going to feel their presence. But when the home team is going and you've got 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people right on top of you, it can be a little bit of an intimidating situation there. It's a close matchup. Overall, I don't have a breakdown of the home court, but right now it's 83-78 in favor of New Albany. In state tournament, it's 32-29 in favor of Jeffersonville. So no real rhyme or reason to it, but it's an impressive atmosphere. There's fewer seats now at Jeffersonville. It's a little bit closer to New Albany's capacity size because they did make that addition in one of the end zones to build Jeffersonville's new high school radio studios there. So WJHI took up about 500 seats, I'd say. So it's maybe not quite as loud in there when you reduce the crowd noise, but it'll be plenty loud whichever home court that you're on, and especially if it's a tight ball game.
You think Romeo Langford's paying attention to this game tonight?
He might get some updates every now and then, I suspect. I haven't looked at the Celtics schedule there, but I don't think Romeo ever lost a game to Jeffersonville in his career, and there's very few players that can say that. There haven't been a lot of long winning streaks one way or the other. The longest losing streak that New Albany has ever had to any single opponent, though, was Jeffersonville. We dropped 7 in a row to them at one point. That's the most. But New Albany had a pretty good run here during the Romeo years, and then last year, obviously, Jeffersonville had two really strong finishes. The game's probably not there wasn't as big a margin as what the final score dictated. New Albany was tied, and I think even had the lead in the fourth quarter, and then Jeff made a great run over at Johnson Arena last year. And then same thing, it was about a two-possession ball game going into the fourth quarter, and then Jeffersonville just had a great finish in that sectional championship game. So I think that's got to give, for those Jeff kids that have played, and they've got a lot of seniors in the lineup this year, didn't have a whole lot of success early on in their career, but to be able to get those two last year, I think it's going to give them a big confidence boost going into tonight to a gym that Jeffersonville hasn't won it since 2012.
Well, it's funny. I mentioned Romeo Langford. I remember vividly, actually, last year, when he was with Indiana University, and he was tweeting the night of the Jeffersonville-New Albany game, and he was at IU getting ready for a Big Ten game, and he was talking about New Albany versus Jeffersonville, and I thought, boy, what a statement that is. And you know that anyone that's ever put on one of those jerseys for either New Albany or Jeffersonville, they're attention turns to this game each year to see what's going to happen. I know our connection with IU Southeast, and we've recruited players from both New Albany and Jeffersonville before, and Keegan Clark is one that comes to mind. He always will get an extra shot in there, knowing that I graduated from New Albany High School. He'll always let me know where his loyalties lie on a big game day like this, and I think that happens throughout this area whenever the Bulldogs and the Red Devils lace them up.
Well, Keegan's actually an answer to a trivia question. He's the last Indiana All-Star to suit up for the Jeff Red Devils, and I think we got a chance this year to see that streak broken, a good possibility for Trey Coleman. Jeffersonville's got 11 Indiana All-Stars all time, but they've been stuck on that number since Keegan was there. And so a good opportunity, we hope, for Trey to be able to represent Southern Indiana this year. We would have liked if Julian Hunter would have had a shot. I think missing the first half of the season with that injury is probably going to cost him serious consideration. But, it's any time that you get statewide recognition. I know everything is so Indianapolis-centric in this state just because of, you know, the population center and how many good high school programs there are up there. Anytime that we can get kids like a Trey Coleman with guys next year like Kaufman and Jacoby over at Silver Creek, that shines a little bit of a spotlight on Southern Indiana and it lets them know, hey, we can play a little bit of ball down here too.
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, looking at the kind of reading up on the game, kind of looking at the teams, it seems that Jeff seems to be a little bit of a favorite in tonight's game. And I know that, you know, you say one team's a favorite and, you know, in these games you really throw kind of all that stuff out the window because at the end of the day it's going to be who plays with that passion and who gets the lucky bounces of the ball throughout the game. But if you were really looking at this game, you know, what does New Albany need to do tonight to escape with a home win at the Doghouse? What do they need to do to be successful against this Jeff team that's having a great year?
I think a big thing is going to be with Jacob Jones and Darren Starks, who, of course, is a New Albany transfer. He's going to be one of the few players in this series that's seen it from both sides. I think the last time maybe that happened. Well, James Smith, one of my former teammates, his son went over there here within the past couple of years. And then I think you got to go back to maybe the mid-80s. There was a kid named Jeff Johns that played his first 2 years at Jeffersonville and then finished out his career. But Darren, part of some really good teams here at New Albany, I thought he made a big difference last year. They've got some quick guards with those two out there, and you've got to do a good job keeping them in front of you. And I don't think New Albany at times did that in the fourth quarter of those two games last year. And Starks, who was not really known as a big scorer at New Albany, he got on track, and when he starts playing with a little confidence, he becomes a very tough player. Jacob Jones, I can say, going back to his freshman year, I mean, New Albany just blew Jeffersonville out by 35, 40 points that year. And Jones looked like the one kid that did not fear New Albany at all, and he always seems to bring his A game against them. Loving's Watts, I have not seen Jeff play this year, but you could tell he was going to be a beast, and I'm really curious to see how his game has developed because I think New Albany's got the personnel to maybe match up with Coleman, but when you throw another kid that size, that athleticism out there, will New Albany be able to do a good job curtailing him as well? Loving's Watts might be, along with Starks, I think the key for Jeffersonville's success tonight.
You know, it's interesting you talk about these two coaches, and obviously Jim Shannon has had so much success at New Albany, and you look at his history and Jeffersonville on the opposite side, you've got a newer coach that's in there. What do these coaches what do they think about this rivalry in this game? I mean, you know Coach Shannon pretty well. I mean, how do they go into it? What changes with them when they go into a game like this?
You know, I think probably the big thing is that you try to make it as much about it's just another game. I mean, there's no way not to notice with the size of the crowd, with the different intensity of the crowd, with conference standings, maybe at stake, and also putting a little seed of doubt for the other team as far as potential rematch in the sectionals. But I think the key is probably try to keep your week as normal as possible, go about the same game plans, go through the same routine, and just try to tamp down some of the emotions that might potentially get out of control. I think it's a little bit less, honestly, than the Jeff game, or the Floyd Central game, rather, because it doesn't seem like there's the same back and forth, the Twitter beef and the trash talking that goes. I mean, New Albany and Floyd really get into that. I think it's a little bit more civil between New Albany and Jeff, and so the players maybe don't get caught up in that hype quite as much. And I think they realize that it is a big game, and you want to continue whatever momentum you're building up right now. New Albany's won a couple in a row here, and they want to prove that they're right there with Jeff and Floyd Central come sectional time. But I think if you put way too much emphasis into this one and overblow it beyond just another regular season game, you can actually see some backlash from that. I mean, maybe you have a post-Jeffersonville withdrawal when you go and play Madison and Scottsburg next week. And, you know, you just don't want to expend too much energy and make it more than what it really is. You can't avoid it, but I think that's what the coaches are trying to do. Now, with Coach Moore having not been through a New Albany Jeffersonville game, I think he's going to do a great job. I think they've had several very close losses against tough competition this year, but you know, part of that, for all the talent Jeff has, and I think they've probably got top three potential talent, they're still dealing with a new system, new coaching style, making that transition this year. But I know there was a one-year overlap where I was coaching with the women's team over at Bellarmine and Coach Moore was coaching on the men's side, and I was always very impressed with the individual work that he does with the guys and the rapport that he has with his players. And so I think as they get more comfortable with him throughout the season, you're going to see Jeff continue to get better and better.
I tell you what, Coach Sullivan, this is the big game. This is it. And I love that we live in an area where we can spend an entire segment on high school basketball and the big game tonight. I can't thank you enough for joining us to talk New Albany versus Jeffersonville. I know that you're going to be in the catwalk up there tonight, and you'll be on the broadcast, I assume, I hope.
We've got it. Jeff High School's got it. I think WXVW will be over here. And so even one of the ESPN stations is coming over and doing their entire afternoon show. So there's a lot of interest, as always. People are talking about this rivalry and that rivalry. I said, hey, full stop. There is Trinity St. X football. There is New Albany Jeff basketball. Everything else is a distant third place in this area, maybe including Kentucky and Louisville. So
hot
take. This is the night.
That is the night. Well, that's great. Again, we have Brian Sullivan, general manager of WNAS 88.1 FM in New Albany. Brian, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Good luck tonight, and we hopefully will have you back here soon to talk more and see where this New Albany team and Jeffersonville team continue to go throughout this year.
I'm glad we talked about that. I had on my list that we were talking about potential coaching candidates at IU had they lost the Northwestern game. So I could talk more intelligently about New Albany, Jeff.
Well, we're going to get to that next segment. So
there we go.
There you go. Hey, thanks again, Brian. We appreciate it.
Talk to you later.
All right. We're going to take our last break. Return with Kevin Brockway, Indiana University and Big Ten beat writer for CNHI Sports Indiana, which encompasses 11 newspapers throughout the state of Indiana. He's going to update us on everything we need to know ahead of tomorrow. Tomorrow's big game between IU and the Buckeyes of Ohio State. Thanks again for tuning in today. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on the Big X, 1450 and 96.1.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. I'm Joe Glover, your guest host today, filling in for Matt, who's attending the funeral of Southern Indiana sports legend Charlie Jenkins today. In our last segment today, we're welcoming Kevin Brockwell, Indiana University and Big Ten beat writer for CNHI Sports Indiana. That encompasses 11 newspapers throughout our great state. And Kevin also covered the SEC for many years, following and reporting on Florida from 2003 to 2018. And we're very happy to have him in the Hoosier State now. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. That was quite an introduction. And, you know, interesting, all those years covering Florida-Kentucky games. You know, I never really stepped foot across the river, but I stayed in Louisville so many times. It's good to be writing throughout the state, and particularly in Southern Indiana with New Albany and Jeffersonville.
Oh, that's great. That I tell you, that rivalry is unbelievable, and it's we're, like I said, we're glad to have you here and glad to talk a little bit about IU. Obviously, you know, we got to talk a little bit about what happened with Northwestern getting ready for Ohio State, and Kevin, just jumping right into it. I know the defense at IU has really seemed to struggle, especially, you know, against Northwestern this week, and I'd like to know maybe a little bit more about what you're seeing, and do you think Coach Miller has an answer to overcome this lack of effort that we've seen lately? There's been a lot of talk about lineup changes.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, Archie came into the season, you know, wanting to play an 11-player rotation, which is all well and good, but you need production. And right now he's not getting it from his bench guys, whether it's scoring, rebounding, hustle. He's not getting what he wants out of, some guys I think he was expecting. Guys like, you know, Jerome Hunter and Demezi Anderson and, you know, maybe it's in the case of Jerome Hunter, it's, you know, just coming back from that year layoff, that injury with Demezi. You know, he didn't play much last year. You know, Deron Davis has had some ankle issues early in the season. He hasn't quite looked, you know, he looked pretty good against Maryland coming back, but then he took a step back. So they're going to need some of these bench guys to step up. And if not, then you got to go with, you know, the guys that are producing, you know, which is right now the starting five. But that puts a lot of pressure on the starting five when you're asking them to play more minutes. And I think for the most part, Archie was hoping to have, you know, that depth so that they would be more fresh down the stretch and execute better down the stretch. But, you know, one guy off the bench who I think is, you know, done pretty well is Armon Franklin, just in terms of as a freshman, his effort and his intensity. And he's not a guy that scores every night, but he's a guy who, you know, gives you everything he has in terms of the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about Franklin and even Trice Jackson-Davis. I mean, these freshmen and what they've been able to do for IU has really been, pretty impressive coming into an environment like Assembly Hall and being able to play and be such contributors so quickly. I think we knew they had effort, or we knew that they had skills and ability and that they were going to be contributors, but I even believe they've contributed even maybe above what Archie originally thought as true freshmen coming in.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in the case of Trace, I mean, he's a McDonald's All-American, and with McDonald's All-Americans, you never know. In Florida, many years, I covered McDonald's All-Americans that didn't make an impact right away, and some did. And I think Trace is a guy who's showing that he can do that in terms of, I think, just his overall athleticism. You don't see too many 6'9 guys that have the kind of hops that Trace has. I mean, you saw that on the alley-oop dunk at the end of the game with Finnessy, which is a really nice play down the stretch. And they look for him. I mean, Archie is a guy that's going to, you know, pound the ball inside. You know, they're going to try to get to the foul line. So Trace fits into that. And I think, that, you know, between him being an integral part of the game plan and him rising to the occasion and producing in a lot of these games, I think that helps. And, you know, the other thing, too, is he's given the effort on the boards as well, which is important. You know, he's got 5 double-doubles already this season. Not rebounding quite as well in Big Ten play, but you have Joey Brunk that's picking up the slack there as well.
Yeah, you know, 100% right. Kevin Brockwell joining us, Indiana University and Big Ten beat writer from CNHI Sports Indiana. Kevin, I love your perspective on this. I'd love to hear you talk a little bit more about it, being someone that's kind of newer to the area here. But sometimes I feel that we, and by we I mean IU fans, are being a little bit too hard on this team at times. You know, they are 12-3, 2-2 in the Big Ten. There have been some things that have frustrated fans. But I'm interested in your take. Are we expecting too much as fans at this point?
Well, you know, I guess what's the running joke is that maybe Calvin Chaney is not walking through that door, right? Or Steve Alford, or, you know, I think it's interesting and I was just watching the Big Ten documentary, even on the 2002 team, and you look at that team that overachieved and, you know, got to the NCAA championship game. But I think when you look at the recent history, I mean, people don't factor in the Kelvin Sampson, the sanctions, and how much that crippled the program and how hard Tom Crean had to work just to get it back to a Sweet 16 level, right? And then it dipped again a little bit, and now we are where we are with Archie. So I think there's just been a lot that's happened in the last decade that has really hampered it. And, you know, you've seen other programs rise. You've certainly see the rise across the river with John Calipari in Kentucky and what he's managed to do, even some of the SEC teams and, you know, what Tom Izzo has managed to do in Michigan State. I mean, you've got a lot of programs, but, you know, the one thing Indiana has that I think they can build on is obviously the passion in the state. You know, the fans still come out in droves. They still love it. And I think Archie's on the right track in terms of, you know, reestablishing the relationship with the coaches, the high school coaches within the state. And really it's a matter of getting the right Indiana guys, right? You know, they didn't get Kyle Guy a few years ago. Kyle Guy helps lead, you know, Virginia to a national championship. So it's about getting those guys, you know. They could, as an outside observer, it's my first year on the beat, they could obviously use a little more shooting. I don't understand why, you know, this program hasn't gotten more dead-eye shooters, and I think that's the next step. But, you know, in watching Anthony Leal a few times in high school, I think he could potentially be that guy.
It's great analysis. You know, I know this sounds crazy, but I kind of want to ask you about the path to the NCAA tournament still for this team and if it exists. I think it was Greg Doyle with the Indianapolis Star earlier this week that said, hey, make no bones about it. This team's not going to make the NCAA tournament this year. Just curious if you agree with that, and or do you think there is a path that that does exist for IU to get into the big dance?
Well, you know, the eye test tells me that they might not be ready yet. I mean, let's face facts here that, you know, they struggled against, you know, to win at home against two of probably what was projected to be the worst teams in the Big Ten, and Northwestern and Nebraska. So the eye test right now tells you, but, you know, teams are capable of growth. We've seen it, you know, throughout college basketball, and I think it's just going to be a matter of them getting better. But, you know, I think if you get to 10-10 in the conference with, you know, they did really well in the non-conference schedule. Obviously, the Arkansas loss is a little disappointing, but that's your only non-conference loss. And I know it was a little soft early, but, you know, maybe if Louisiana Tech plays well during the course of the season, you know, I think you're rooting pretty hard for Florida State because that's kind of your bell cow non-conference win, right? So you're probably rooting for them to, you know, stay in the top 25 and do well for the rest of the season. And then I think if you get to 10 conference wins, right now they're 2-2. If you get to 500 in this league, as strong as this league is, you're going to get there. The problem is that, you know, some non-traditional powers, teams like Rutgers and Penn State, are playing very well. So, I mean, I think getting to 10 wins with this group is going to be really hard. But, you know, maybe they're capable of that growth. And if you protect the home court as well and, you know, steal some wins against some teams that, you know, might be better than you on paper, but you feed off the energy of the crowd, maybe you can get there.
Kevin Brockwell, Indiana University and Big Ten beat writer for CNHI Sports Indiana, joining us. And one of the things, Kevin, that I you know, noticed watching the game, we all know that how historic Assembly Hall is and how tough of a place it is to play for opponents. But I was looking this up, and Miller's tenure at IU, the Hoosiers have only gone 13-8 in Big Ten home games. And one of the things that I noticed watching on TV was how quiet Assembly Hall was at times. And obviously, it could have been due to the fact that there wasn't a lot to cheer for at certain times of the game. But did you get that same sense? And IU fans seemed to be a little restless. I even heard some people talking about boos in the crowd. And I'm just curious that how that affects a younger team, and especially these Hoosiers that are kind of have some consistency issues.
There were some boos. I mean, was it raining down boos? No, but you heard a few of them during some timeouts when they kept on, you know, getting burned on that high screen play. And Northwestern had guys wide open underneath the basket when they were doubling up top. You know, I think, because I think IU fans are obviously, you know, tremendously savvy about the game. They see the game, they know the game so well, and they know when a team, you know, has lapses that are, you know, due to strategy, due to coaching, right? So I think fans get a little frustrated with that, but I think also that, you know, when the momentum turns, when they got the shot clock violations, the crowd got right back behind them, which I thought was good to see. It wasn't like, you know, a situation of like, hey, we're going to constantly be on this team. So they're just waiting for something to cheer for. And Archie said that after the game. And I think it's incumbent upon this Indiana team to give them something to cheer for. You know, it's a two-way street. So I think that, you know, the crowd's going to be energized, you know, on Saturday. Obviously, they're a lot of rumors about a certain former coach that might be back in town, right?
Oh, yeah. That was
back for that game.
That was my next question for you. You know, we're hearing a lot about the general, Robert Montgomery Knight, maybe being back. I don't know. I hear a lot of rumors out there. I don't know if, you know, obviously he played at Ohio State, has a lot of connections, and I hear they're even honoring a team maybe during halftime or some former players. So it's going to be interesting to see if he does show up or not.
Yeah, and I mean, if he does, I think it's going to blow the roof off the place. Certainly, you know, we could debate, you know, how it all ended for him, but I think a lot of time has passed with regards to that. And he has, I mean, somewhat made his peace coming back to the baseball game, right? Now he's living here. You know, we know his health situation as well, so I think there'll be a little more sympathy with regards to that as well. So, and a lot of time has passed, but I think, you know, it's going to be an energetic atmosphere regardless because, you know, Ohio State is a ranked team. They are struggling. You know, Ohio State was a team probably early in the season that overachieved because they shot the ball really well from the perimeter, and that's starting to catch up to them, too. They've really struggled from the perimeter over the last few games, and I'm sure they're probably – Archie Miller's probably hoping that that shooting funk for Ohio State will extend to one more game right here at Assembly Hall tomorrow.
Without a doubt. You know, I was looking at it. The Buckeyes are actually 3-1 in their last four trips across the border with two wins at Assembly Hall and one at Purdue. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking about, you know, can this IU team beat Ohio State, who's on a three-game losing streak? You know, they've got, they definitely have a lot to play for. They're 11-4 overall, but only 1-3 in the Big Ten. So I guess the final question of the day, can IU beat this Ohio State team tomorrow?
Oh, I think they're capable, yeah, because I think, you know, home court carries such a weight in college basketball, and I think you have a team that's struggling, but I think it's going to be important, obviously, to get off to a good start, to get to the foul line, which is what this team does well, and, you know, you can – I think that's been the big issue when you take a look at the Big Ten road games. When you have a team that's built to get to the foul line like IU is, that doesn't play well on the road because we all know at every level – you know, the whistles get a lot harder when you're in an opposing gym. But when you're at home, you know, you play the energy, you get the ball inside, try to draw contact. I think if they do that and, you know, they have to do a good job on Wesson, obviously inside, that's going to be a key too. And hope Ohio State shooters, you know, kind of stay in that malaise. Yeah, I think they're capable of winning this game, sure.
Kevin, thank you so much. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Be safe. You know, we look forward to having you back in the future. Glad to have you in the state of Indiana. And like I said, thank you for all you do and for all your coverage of IU and Hoosier sports here in Indiana.
Thank you very much. Yeah, looking forward to it, guys. Anytime.
Thank you again. And that's going to do it for today's Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. I'd like to thank Matt Dennison for allowing me to fill in for you today. I'd also like to thank Dugan Ryan, station owner and GM of WXVW. And I'd like to also thank Douglas, who's producing the show in the studio, doing a fine job keeping this program on the air. I'd also like to remind you that if you're listening live, in the 11 a.m. hour, that we have John Spears in his show next, Spears on Sports. John does an absolutely amazing job. Talks some Hoosier sports. We'll keep you updated on Indiana news as well as a little bit of everything from Kentucky sports. He will also look at some of the local teams here on the high school level, even St. X, and kind of what they're doing. And again, John has just got an amazing show. If you haven't listened to him, I hope that you'll continue to tune in and listen to his show. He brings a lot to the lineup. We're glad to have him in the new time slot right here after the Hoosier Report. I'm Joe Glover. I'm going to catch you in the next one. Enjoy the big game tonight. It's Bulldogs and the Red Devils for the 162nd time. Make sure that you get out and support high school sports. It doesn't matter where you go. Make sure that you get there and you watch some great and outstanding high school basketball coverage. It'll be a great one tonight. New Albany versus Jeffersonville. You've been listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on the Big X Sports Radio, WXVW, 1450 and 96.1.